Wonder, brethren, if we could look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, was mentioned this morning in our meeting, and in this little hymn, it reminds us. We have in the chapter that we took up this morning, those few verses in Ephesians chapter 1, the sovereignty of God brought out in connection with His purposes, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And so we know that we never would have chosen Christ. We would have never chosen to follow the Lord Jesus in a path of any sense of obedience to Him at all, except it were for the sovereignty of God this afternoon that finds us here at this little meeting together. But here we find that in Hebrews chapter 11, there's the aspect of faith is brought out, but also the aspect of responsibility before God. And it's the grace of God that He brings out this little picture in Moses. And there's seven things here that I'd like to notice in connection with Moses that God, in His grace, brings out. We'll just read from verse 23, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Well, we find in the path of Moses that the beginning had to do with his parents. I like that little portion in Exodus chapter 1. I can't quote it, so perhaps we could just read it very briefly. In chapter 2, I should say, verse 1, there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And so here we have two people of faith, two people that were brought up, if you will, in the household of faith, the children of Levi, and that household of faith produced a child that was brought into the world, and that child saw for 3 months, not only 3 months, but for several years, saw the effect of faith and what it was to walk in faith in this world. Not to walk by faith, not to walk by in a path of luxury, in a path of ease, but a path of faith. Moses saw his mother and his father walk in a path of faith. And so we find here that God records that by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid. The faith of the parents hid him from the world, hid him from the eye of Pharaoh. And brethren, we need to do well by this word, is to remember to hide, in a certain sense, the world from our children, to hide them from the those things that would defile them and those things that would choke off the fruit that would be born in faith. And so Moses was hid by his parents. And you know that name Moses means drawn out. He was drawn out, and it was a work of God to draw out Moses out of the river of Egypt, to draw him out. And so Moses didn't save himself out of that river. It was in the sovereignty of God that Moses was taken out of the river, and God had a purpose for him for his life. And God has a purpose for every one of us in this life. For thy pleasure we are and were created. Moses was created for the pleasure of God, that his life might be a path of faith and that it might please God, your life and mine. We were created that we might please God in this scene, that we might walk in a path of faithfulness to God. So Moses was hid by his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Mr. Darby's translation says there he was a beautiful child, or fair to God. I believe that's the terminology, fair to God. He was fair to God. Every one of us is fair to God. Everyone redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. But God has created all things for himself, as we've read in Ephesians chapter 1. And so we know that God has created all mankind in responsibility before him. In sovereignty, he chooses. He predestinates. He blesses with all spiritual blessings in Christ. But there's responsibility. And so this is what we have here in responsibility. They saw that he was a proper child or fair to God, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And so, you know, the laws of this land and the one to the north of us, many of these laws that are being passed now are not according to the word of God, not pleasing to God. And we need to recognize that a path of faith will require us to walk before God according to the word of God, not according to the laws of this man, this land, or the one to the north of us. We need to remember that a path of faith takes up the word of God and recognizes that as for God, his way is perfect. And so the purposes of God are perfect. His will is perfect. You and I have a will, and sometimes it's a strong will. And it's not always according to the word of God, is it? But the will of God is perfect. God's purposes and counsels are perfect. They're without flaw. And so we have here this little picture in Moses' life that his parents were not afraid of the king's commandment. And so they trusted God for that child. And they walked in faith. But then it came time for Moses. He had observed the path of his parents. He had observed their path of faith. He had observed, perhaps heard their prayers. Perhaps he had observed how they spoke to one another. Perhaps he observed their appreciation for what they had heard of God. And so he observed that, and then there was a time when he was going to come into responsibility by faith, Moses. When he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I just want to point out that the Lord Jesus, in perfection, we'll just look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, just at the end of that chapter. The Lord Jesus, by faith, forsook Egypt. He forsook this world. And by faith, in verse 49, chapter 2 and verse 49 of Luke, he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And so the Lord Jesus knew that he must be about his Father's business. And there comes a time in each one of our lives, those of us that know Christ as Savior, when we have a sense of the age of responsibility that we're at, and that we must be about the Father's business. That we have a walk before God, and it's going to be either a walk in the leisure and the pleasure of this world, or a walk in path of faith before God. And that's really the point of our lives in this scene, to walk before God in his sight and to walk in a path of faith. And so here, Moses, he came to the age of responsibility, perhaps that age of responsibility in the Lord Jesus. He was about 12 years old. And here we have Moses. I don't know exactly how old he was, but there was an age of responsibility. And now he chose, as it were, he's by faith, in responsibility before God, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, this world desires that each one of us would walk in a relationship to it. The world could see that Moses was a man of principle, could see that Moses was perhaps blessed in what he did. And the world wanted that too. The world wanted Moses' strength, his youth, his energy. And Moses, by faith, refused that relationship. And so sometimes in our Christian pathway, there are those relationships that are a hindrance to us. And God would desire that there would be fruit in our lives. And if there is a relationship that isn't according to the mind of God and was perhaps placed upon us in a certain sense, that we recognize by faith that that relationship is a hindrance and we lay it aside by faith. Moses did that. And it cost him. You know, sometimes it costs us friends to walk in the truth of God. It's not something that we look forward to, perhaps, but the Spirit of God would remind us that Moses made a choice and he refused that relationship. Well, that's the first thing. He refused. He actually refused something that this world wanted to bestow upon him. A position, he was perhaps the next in line to the king, to Pharaoh. He could have had a life of luxury and ease. He could have had honor, glory. He could have had the wealth of Egypt before him. But he refused. And so the world will present things that do not have to do with a path of faith and obedience or devotion to Christ, affection to Christ. Moses refused. Well, that's something that speaks to my heart, to my conscience. Do I refuse that position that the world desires to bestow upon me? Well, verse 25 says something else he did, he chose. Now, this is not, as we say, it's the sovereignty of God that Moses could choose, but it was in responsibility. He chose, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The Word of God is very precise. And God, in His wisdom, puts these things in a particular order that they might exercise our consciences and that we might bear fruit for Him. There's going to be a choice in my life and in yours. We're either going to choose to suffer affliction with the people of God. We're going to identify ourselves with the people of God, with the people of faith. You know, I had many people ask me this past week what I was going to do this week. What was I going to do this weekend? What sort of pleasure and activity was I going to engage in? And I said, oftentimes this week, I plan to be with other Christians at a Bible conference this Saturday and Lord's Day. And I like to use that terminology in the presence of unbelievers, Lord's Day, not Sunday. Well, there's no reproach in saying Sunday, but if you say the Lord's Day, why, you bring in the Lord's name and there's a reproach. There's perhaps a little affliction going to go along with that. But identify yourselves, dear young ones. Every one of us needs this. I need it too. We need to identify ourselves with Christ, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Do I identify myself with the people of God? Or do I identify myself with the people of this world or a particular profession in life? No, I ought to identify myself with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So there is pleasure in sin. And Moses had the pleasure of Egypt before him. He had the entertainment of Egypt. He had the culture of Egypt before him. He could have had it. He could have had all of it. He could have had the very best of it. And you and I, in the age that we live in, are in a position with the wealth that we have in this country and the one to the north of us in North America, we can have the best of the entertainment of this world if we want it. And it touches my conscience when I think of how perhaps I engage in listening to some of that entertainment from time to time, or just let my eyes wander from what, instead of reading the Word of God, reading something that perhaps is feeds that the flesh and not the inner, not the spirit. And so we have Moses here would speak to all of our consciences. He refused. He chose something. He chose the affliction of the people with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And you know, if you and I suffer affliction together in a path of faithfulness to Christ, a path of devotion, we'll be able to remember that in the glory. Desert ways will be rehearsed above. We'll remember spending a few moments together like this in the presence of the Lord and just enjoying Christ together. Well, here we find in verse 26 that because of his choice, because of his refusal, then there's a little progression. Moses could see things from God's point of view. It says he esteemed something. He was esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had recompense unto the, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know, I was in a place, in a wicked city, where they have a replica of the King Tut's tomb. They have his alabaster, a replica, I believe, of his alabaster drinking cup. He was 19 years old, I believe, when he left this scene. They have his actual bed in that place. They have a very realistic tomb of King Tut. And it was sorrowful. My heart was moved as I saw that place. And I saw what the treasures were that that king had in his burial chamber. And the emptiness, the utter frustration of what he saw, what he had there, what he had that accompanied him into that tomb, darkness. But Moses could see from God's perspective, and he had a proper estimation. This is really the root word of this esteeming. He had an estimation of it. He took and he perhaps viewed the riches of Egypt, the gold coins, you know, in the cabinets in that place that I was in. They had cabinets with security guards, and they had some prices on some of the coins and some of the sculptures and the gold objects in the cabinets, and they had some prices on some of them, $10,000, $25,000. Others were marked priceless, make an offer. But they're all there in that cabinet, worthless in the sight of God for all eternity. Worthless. And Moses could see some of those very objects, I believe. He could see that the gold and the wealth of what Egypt had to offer was going to be worthless in the sight of God, was going to be worthless for all eternity. And so this world wants you to gather up the treasures that it has, the gold that it has, the objects that you can see. But there was an estimation. Moses estimated that the value of that material good was worthless in the sight of God. And so that's what faith does. And in responsibility to God, he could esteem or estimate that the reproach of Christ was greater riches in the sight of God than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And so he could see that it was possible to have a saved soul, if you will, and a lost life. And he wanted to walk before God. I say this to myself, do I want to walk before God? Do I have a respect unto the recompense of the reward? You know, if we turn to 1 Thessalonians, we read there what the apostle said to the Thessalonians in verse 19 of chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19, for what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Isn't that wonderful? Can you just imagine the Lord Jesus speaking these words? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Perhaps the Father could speak these words What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Well, there's going to be a glory associated. There's going to be a reward given. There's going to be that which is an estimate of great value in the sight of God for those that have walked in some devotion, some affection for Christ, and have chosen and that have esteemed, have seen from God's point of view that there is something that's better than the riches of Egypt, the treasures of Egypt. Well, verse 27 says that he forsook Egypt. That's the fourth thing. The first one was he refused. The second is he chose. The third is he esteemed. The fourth is that he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. You know, I had a man in my office not too long ago. He works for me, and he's a believer. I hired him, and I didn't know that he was a believer when I hired him. And he said he was having difficulty with one of his children. And he doesn't know whether his daughter is saved or not. He thinks she might be. But, you know, there's a struggle going on. There's a difficult struggle going on in that girl's life. And there is this struggle. Is she going to forsake Egypt or not? And each one of us, perhaps, in some stage of our lives, has recognized that there was a struggle. Were we going to forsake Egypt or not? Were we going to walk in obedience? Were we going to walk and see, experience some of the affliction with the people of God? Well, it wasn't possible to experience that affliction with the people of God and still go on in fellowship with Egypt. And so by faith and responsibility before God, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. So that's what God says. Oh, the point is this, that Satan is wroth. I believe, if I could be, want to be reverent, but Satan is wroth when one gets saved. Satan is wroth when one has to make that choice whether to forsake Egypt or not. And when we decide to forsake Egypt, there's a struggle. Satan is at work. There's an enemy of our souls. He doesn't want us to forsake Egypt. He wants us to have a little bit of Egypt, just a little bit of it. Not a lot of it. If you don't want all of the fame and you don't want all the wealth, just take a little bit of it. But Moses forsook Egypt. The whole thing, the whole principle of what this world stands for, this whole world system, its entertainment, its pleasure, its political power, its relationships, he gave it all up and he left Egypt. Now you and I, by faith, can leave Egypt. We can walk in the path of obedience to the Lord Jesus. We can be gathered to his precious name. We can come into his presence. We can leave Egypt. We can forsake Egypt and walk by faith. Well, he endured. That's the fifth thing. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so I believe the thought here is that it's going to take endurance. I have a little document that I use when I interview people for employment. And it has on it, one of the questions is, are you a stable, steady individual? Or are you real hot one day, real productive one day, and then very unproductive another day? One week you're very high, you're all on fire, you're just very suitable for the job, you're enthusiastic, but then the next week it's another story. Well, I believe the picture here is that Moses endured. There was going to be opposition. There were going to be temptations. There were going to be occasions when that relationship would look attractive again. When the world and what it had to offer and what he had forsaken perhaps would look attractive again. Perhaps that little decision that he made, the great decision, I should say, of suffering, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God would require endurance. And God values endurance. God values the fact that those that choose to follow him in a path of faith in the wilderness and forsake Egypt, and suffer affliction with the people of God, identify themselves with the people of God, he recognizes that it's a path of endurance. And there are those that go on for a little while. Perhaps they are very on fire for a week, 2 weeks. And then a week they're down. I must confess, I'm that way myself. We're just on fire for one day, perhaps the Lord's Day. And then Monday the fire is a little dimmer, and Tuesday and Wednesday. Oh, we need to have that refreshment in the presence of the Savior at the reading meeting, at the prayer meeting, at the gospel meeting. Oh, we need to have food for our souls at the assembly meetings, but then we need Christian fellowship too. And this is something that I believe the Spirit of God would bring before us here in verse 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover. That's the sixth thing that Moses did. The fifth one he endured. But then, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. He kept the Passover. What it meant to the heart of God to see the Passover slain and to see all over the land of Egypt that night the Passover lamb eaten, the blood sprinkled on the upper door post, on the lintel on the two side posts. What it meant to the heart of God to see his people in obedience and faithfulness just eating that Passover. Now you and I have the ability to remember the Lord Jesus in his death, to keep the Lord's Day, to honor the Lord's Day, to eat the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day at the Lord's table. Isn't that wonderful? Every one of us has that privilege, those of us that know Christ as Savior. There's a place for us at the Lord's table. And Moses, through faith, kept the Passover. It meant something to God. He mentions it here. And all the children of Israel, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So it came. He came under the blessing of that blood shed. Not wonderful to recognize that blood shed and enjoy what it means. And then the last thing in verse 7, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. And so they went, a whole company. And Moses, a man of God, walked by faith. And as a result of the path of obedience to the Lord and those choices that he made, and the endurance that he had, the refusals that he made, the estimations that he made, God used him. God used Moses to bring the people of Israel out into the promised land. They crossed the Red Sea. They went through that Red Sea. It was a picture of baptism, and they went out into the wilderness. They left Egypt, and so his life of faith had an influence on many others. And so this is the point here, that there's a little progression, but there Moses could not have been used, I don't believe, for this work if he had not, by faith, refused. By faith, made a choice. By faith, estimated the value of what Egypt had and seen it from God's point of view. He wouldn't have been able to be used in this way if he hadn't forsaken Egypt. Why would he lead the whole company of those out from Egypt, God's people? He endured. He was faithful. He had stamina. And then they kept the Passover in obedience and faithfulness to God. And then he was used to lead the people of Israel out. Well, this is a path of obedience and faithfulness to God in Moses. He was drawn out. I trust that each one of us is drawn out from this world and has a desire just to please the Lord and to go on in devotion to Christ.